We're going to play a piece of a musical composition, a beautiful work of art from the year 1990. And this is participatory, so we're going to play it. When it stops, I need you out loud to say the first thing that comes to mind. So we're going to play it, appreciate this beautiful work of art. When it ends, out loud, say the first thing that comes to mind. Yes, Hammer Time indeed. You are correct. The celebrated artist, master of ceremonies, Hammer. You can't touch this. Back when art spoke to the soul. Right? Hammer Time has a really special place in my heart, not just because of the Hammer pants that were too legit to quit, but Hammer Time is also one of the greatest Christmas gifts I've ever received. Let me take you back to the early 1990s, just a beautiful space in time. It was Christmas morning. My sister and my parents and I had a great morning opening gifts and eating sausage balls to our merry hearts' content. We cleaned up and we began to prepare for some incoming family, but I just had to go outside and throw around my new football. It was this new technology that had just evolved in footballs. I didn't need to play a long time, just enough for my parents to finish all the work of cleanup. But I stepped in the garage, and there she was. My first taste of horsepower, a go-kart named Hammer Time. Now, that's not it, but it was really close to that. Sleek, black frame. It had Hammer Time written on the side and blue and red paint that looked a lot like my dad's handwriting. It was an unexpected gift. Right, all the presents were open, boxes crushed, paper in the garbage, but there lay Hammer Time, an unexpected gift just waiting to be discovered. And today we begin our Advent series, which is based on the fact that Jesus came here to this world, that God came to this world. Advent is from the Latin word adventus, which means coming, that God left paradise to come here, to become a person, to experience the pain, the struggle, the disappointment, all the emotions that embody the human experience. And Jesus came to a weary world. But the prophet Isaiah foretold the birth of Jesus among the oppression of God's people. See, his people had turned their back on God. They had broken their promises to him. They had been conquered by their enemies. They were weary, and they were living in darkness. But Isaiah told God's people, and he tells us today, there is hope for a weary world. There is hope for a weary world. So as you came in, the back table there, there's coffee in the corner. By both of those, there are sermon notes every week. So if you're following along, this is our first point. So if you want to go get one of those, feel free to. This is a very casual environment. If you don't have one of these for communion, now's a great time to go grab one. And also, kids. We have the craft corner up here, and we have an activity for you to make an ornament that you're going to hang on your own trees up here. Georgia, where are you? Georgia? So Georgia's going to help the kids. Georgia made the awesome decoration on the top of the tree. So any kids that want to go over there, Miss Georgia will help you make a decoration to put on those trees. You can go over there. You can make noise. That's great. We love that. And where's Mr. Tom? He'll run security when he gets back over there. So kids, we would love for you to do that. Take your time, have fun, be loud. So as Jonathan read earlier, we're in Isaiah chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 2. Great, you kids have fun. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms blood-stained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. So Isaiah says, in the middle of oppression and destruction, there is hope. In the middle of sadness and loneliness, there is hope. In the middle of a breaking marriage, there is still hope. In the search to be seen, there is hope. There is hope for a weary world. But Isaiah's language, it speaks of bloodstain and war and slavery and fire. So what is this hope that will come to end this battle? 100-ton bomb to flatten the enemy? Maybe a hybrid shark lions that swarm out of the Mediterranean Sea? Muscle mayhem and furious fire? Not exactly. As the cries of battle were raised, a crib would be lowered into the war zone. The pitter-patter of toddlers' feet would be heard among the trample of the warrior's boots. The antithesis to a wound-up warrior is promised, for a child is born to us. A child would stop the war. An infant would bring peace. An unexpected gift would end the people's weariness. Just to give you a picture of that, like if we had an enemy come through that door, what I wouldn't do is ask these kids to go over there and engage, right? An unexpected gift would end this war. Because God's people walked in darkness. And this darkness was brought on by their separation from God. It halted their hope, and they grew weary. We're not like those people, right? It was a long time ago. They're far, far away. We're not like them. We're strong. Right, we can forge our own future, muster our own hope, and we're smart. Right, we create intelligence, we generate reality, we're able, creative, progressive, advanced, we're relentless. But more than that, we're weary. We're worn out from worry. Right, we're exhausted from effort. Keeping up with the Joneses has worn us down to the Boneses, and we're a weary people. Our separation from God has led us down a path of darkness, and we settle for a dim existence when we're offered a bright life. But good news, my friend, there is hope for a weary world, for a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The hope for a weary world is Jesus. The hope that shines in darkness is Jesus. And the hope in the shadow of death is Jesus. See, because if we go to Matthew 4, verse 12, we see Jesus fulfill Isaiah's prophecy. It says, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And this would fulfill what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. Because darkness can only be broken by light. And the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And many of us live in darkness. Some of us live in a land of deep darkness. We're so deep in the dark, we've forgotten what light looks like. Our eyes would squint if we saw it. And that darkness can make us tired and make us weary. And we're tempted to give up. But God will not quit. As Isaiah said, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Darkness is death. But God saw to it that Jesus came to disrupt death and destroy darkness. And he's not bringing a flashlight to shine in the darkness. No, he's got a million-ton blowtorch, and he's going to burn it down. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Darkness is broken by God's compassionate commitment to his people. hope can't be earned because it's based on God's commitment. Isn't that good news? We can't earn this hope. God gives it to it in his commitment to us. It's not based on our weariness or our relentless awesomeness. It's based on God's love for his people. We're freed from darkness. And our separation, the distance between us and God, is closed by the cross of Jesus. And that hope is offered to us freely through faith in Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this because it's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you've done, so none of us can boast about it. And since we can't earn this hope, it also means we can't lose it. As we're told in Romans, nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels nor demons, our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God, which is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hope is not earned, so hope cannot be lost. You can't earn God's love for you, so when you receive it through Jesus, it can never be taken from you. We live in a spiritual war, right? There's an enemy who's assaulting our homes, and an oppressor stalks his prey, but there is hope for a weary world. Hope that will rule with fairness and justice for all eternity, and hope that can never be taken from those who embrace it. And the passionate commitment of the Lord will make this happen. It's a promise. It's a promise fulfilled in Jesus in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live. In Lindale, in Van, in Hideaway, in Tyler, in the Carroll community where so many of us live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land of darkness where death cast its shadow, what we celebrate in the season is that a light has shined. It says a light has shined. Jesus has come. Darkness is broken. Death is defeated. Pain is real, but it's not final. Suffering does exist, but it's not eternal. Because Jesus said, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. So I ask today, do you live in darkness? Well, Jesus is the gift of light. Or maybe you came today burdened. Jesus takes that burden, and when we release it, he takes it to the cross. Or maybe you feel like you need somebody to listen and actually hear you. Well, he tells us today that he is the wonderful counselor. Or maybe you came today feeling weak to temptation or addiction, and he reminds you, I am the mighty God. Maybe your dad hurt you. Maybe your earthly father abandoned you. Or maybe you just miss your dad. Jesus says, I am the everlasting Father. Maybe life is just chaos. You're always anxious. He reminds us today, he is the Prince of Peace. Or maybe death has cast its shadow on you. Well, I remind you today, a light shines, and his name is Jesus. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appears and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night when Christ was born. The thrill of hope as a weary world rejoices. There is hope for a weary world, and that hope is Jesus. He is the unexpected gift that came as a child. That God sent his son as a baby to end the battle for our souls. And that battle makes us weary, but he has won. And we rejoice as we hear the angels' voices who sang into the darkness, I bring you good news that will bring you great joy to all the people. Yes, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born. We hear that and we rejoice. The thrill of hope is found by rejoicing in Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world, brought his light into darkness, so we rejoice. He brings hope into weariness, so we rejoice. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul knew its worth. And the thrill of that hope is found today by rejoicing in Jesus. But if we are honest, we are conditioned to walk in darkness, right? In our world, weariness is what we are trained to be accustomed to. We're numb to wonder and we are too busy for awe. But the thrill of hope is found. It's found by rejoicing in Jesus. So when we see when Jesus started his public ministry and he brought his light into the darkness, Matthew tells us Jesus began to preach. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He says, turn to God because he is near. The separation has ended. The light has shone. The thrill of hope is found by rejoicing in Jesus, and he tells us that to rejoice is a choice. He says, repent. Repent means turn away. You've been pursuing your selfish desires, he says, turn away from that and turn to God. You've been pursuing the worldly things about Christmas, turn away from that. Steer yourself and your family back to God. Turn away from your habits and your comforts and your conditioned way of life and turn back to God, for he is near. So we're entering a full season, right? Full calendars, full plates, full credit cards. There are 24 days left in the Christmas season. And that may create anxiety in some of us, but just as your pastor, I want to say, don't get so caught up in the margins of this holiday that you miss its heart. Right? The awe and the wonder that God would come here to save us. To rejoice in that is a choice. Right? Life is hard. The world is weary, but there is hope for a weary world, and it is found today by rejoicing in Jesus. You might say, okay, that sounds great. How do I do that? Well, we're going to do part of that practice right now. We're going to take communion together. Communion reminds us what we have in Jesus. Right? It reminds us what he's done for us, who we are in him. So why do you think Jesus told us to do this before he left this earth? You can say it out loud. He knew we'd forget, right? He knew we would get caught up in the busyness of this life and forget. He knew the people who watched him die and come back to life needed a reminder. That's pretty wild. So part of choosing to rejoice in Jesus is turning our thoughts back to him. These Advent devotionals, 3 times a day, just turn your thoughts back to him. Right? When you get caught up in the stuff of Christmas, turn your heart back to him. Say, okay, what would my life look like if he hadn't saved me? If I didn't have hope, what would be the point? Just turn our thoughts back to him. That's what we do when we take communion together. So you can open the bread. God, I thank you for what we hold in our hands and that it reminds us of what you've done. I pray in this time you would draw our hearts back to you. In a world that wants us to be weary, stir in us the wonder of who you are. So on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he took it and broke it, and he says, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this to remember me. You can open the juice. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he says, "This cup is the new covenant that's confirmed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." God, thank you for this gift. Thank you that because of who you are and what you have done, a weary world rejoices and has joy. It has life and has hope that can never be taken. We thank you and we praise you. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Would you stand up? Let's sing together. Amen.